Welcome everybody to Cup with Gup on this Friday, September 24th, 2021. We are set to go game by game for the 13-game main slate on Sunday. With me for the first time in this format, I talked about it last week, is our cash king, our NASCAR god, our man Ryan. Ryan, how you doing?
Yeah, it is.
We are recording on Thursday, but we'll be releasing it later on tonight. But how you doing on this day?
Doing good, man. It's nice. It's actually beautiful out here, which is nice. It's been raining a lot, but I'm in upstate New York, so but it's all right. How you doing?
Good. It is a we were at 98 degrees 2 days ago, and this morning it was like 48. So it felt cold as shit for me, but I will take the coolness over hot weather. Right now, it feels like football weather for me, so I'm excited for it. Actually got a GC member and some buddies who are associated with the new OU basketball coach, the assistant coach to him. He's from Chicago, obviously. Made a good run up there. His best friend is the assistant coach at OU now, so they are flying in today, and we're gonna play a little golf in the morning, so it'll be fun to see some Gup's Corner guys and go to the OU game on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to that. Should be a fun weekend. We got Ryder Cup starting tomorrow morning, very, very early. If you're listening to this Friday morning, it should be starting at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. Eastern. So hopefully, you got all your lineups locked and loaded. As always, use the code CUP for 15% off any package right now. We just pushed several updates to the NFL tools, the Green Machine. We also have the little late now, but if you listen to it later, we do custom things when need be now. So one thing we did this week was set up the Green Machine to run for the CUP format from DraftKings. So that was a big help and a lot of good feedback there. The NFL tools, I've received a ton of feedback in the last 2 days with some of the things we've pushed. So now's a great time to come check us out. 7-day risk-free trial included. Rate and review us on iTunes. I did give away our first big winners from the upgrade and new sub deal on the coin flip earlier today. So if you want to go check out that, if you missed it and you want to make sure you see if you won, and I will be giving away more giveaways throughout any week we do. And the best way to do it is rate and review us on iTunes, like and subscribe this video on YouTube. Tell me your favorite matchup, minus Chargers, Chiefs, Rams, Bucks of the week. We know those two are going to be highly targeted. So outside of those two, what is your favorite matchup you're looking forward to from a DFS standpoint in the comments? And that'll get you into our next drawings. Right now on Underdog, deposit $10, get a free $10 with the code GUP. There are NBA, NHL breast balls going on. Our guys are talking about them in Slack already. I'll probably do some NBA ones. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that rolls out. If you're not one of those fans, there are still daily NFL best balls going on. Right now, there's $100,000 in prizes. Sunday Battle Royal, only $6 to enter, $20K to first. So if you want to use some of that free money and get in that, that is a they're a good site, great app for best balls in general. But these games are pretty fun, and they're not like 200,000 entries like DraftKings. So you have more of a chance there if you're not a big money person to go put in 150 entries on something like that. Monkey Knife Fight, I gave away my NFL and college football plays of the week on the coin flip. So if you want to look at that, right now, 100% deposit match up to your first $100 deposited with the code GUPS, G-U-P-S. All these links are in the audio podcast, or go to gupscorner.com/affiliates. We are on a little bit of run on these Monkey Knife Fight picks. Go check out that coin flip, and I gave away my picks of the week. Now let's get into the good stuff. It's a pretty simple pod format. We're going to go every game. Our goal is to keep it around 45 minutes, so we're not dragging on. Some games may go 7. Some big games may go 30 seconds because of the lack of interest. All you that know Ryan, his specialty is cash, but he is not. I mean, he's definitely will do MMA as well. But I think if we go back and forth, we're not going to hit on every play, every team, every person. It's going to be more about game environment and stuff like that. My coin flip is still out there. So if you want to get, you know, plays, fades, values, stuff like that, you can do that. This is more to try to get a better understanding of the slate in general, especially right now, because there's 13 games on it. It's so hard to break down sometimes. We're going to start with Chargers Chiefs. Obviously a high game targeted. I have it at 116% combined ownership on my first look. Is it a must play, or do you think because the offense is going to be so spread out here in MME world, do you think it, you know, you can wind up not having good value here?
What makes me like it more is that I think a lot of people are playing CEH at 4,800, and I just can't get with that. I think it's the wrong move in this game. I like targeting Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey. And if CEH is going to take away from any ownership at all on those guys, then I like him more. And then the other thing, too, is Williams is still going to come in lower ownership than Allen. And Williams is in a great, great spot in this offense. So I don't know. I mean, this is a game it's hard to get away from. And people have the sore taste in their mouth last week after playing Dak. And I'm one of them. And it just hurt. So they might shy away from this game a little bit, but I don't know. There's still some spots I like in this one.
With Brown potentially looks like he's going to be out. I don't know if he can get enough negative tests or whatever to get in. If he's out, is there anybody that opens up? Or do you think it's just still stick with the guys that are going to be there with their, you know, Godwin and Evans and Gronk for that matter are still going to get maybe more shares. There's no, you know, I know, you know, there's a few guys.
I thought we were doing Chiefs Chargers.
Sorry. Yeah, I went down to my wrong notes. So I'm not as high on the Chargers. I hadn't been all year. And I don't think Dallas is a world beater by any means. I obviously thought Dallas would win last week. I thought I picked them +3.5. But what do you think the real Chargers are? Are they competitive in this game? Or is there a scenario where they get blown out, especially with Chiefs coming off a loss?
I think they're competitive. I think the Chiefs defense is pretty bad. That's the part that's going to be their downside. Is like the one thing that I look at was like drive success rates, and the Chargers are number one. The Chiefs are number one, but they're also 32nd in defensive, you know, drive success rate, meaning they give up a ton of yards, first downs, touchdowns to the opposing offenses. So I just don't think they can stop anyone, and they're powerful enough to score. So it just kind of creates this atmosphere of, you know, good fantasy points all day long.
I do think I'm interested on the Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Obviously, I've talked about him in the preseason. I was high on him. I like him. Has not had a great start. And I wonder, he will be a guy come Sunday morning where I wonder if everybody in the industry, and I haven't really started a whole lot of research, not research, but listening to the pods because of so much prep time with the Ryder Cup this week. I'll start that this afternoon. But if everybody goes to, well, he's so cheap and everybody's going to play him, so that everybody starts moving off of him and he becomes somewhat of a, you know, we always talk about it sometimes in golf. Everybody was going to be on him, and now they are, and now they aren't type of guy, that he could have value there. Right now, I agree with you. I think they're going to game stack and they're going to say he's 4,800. Might as well put him in there, you know, for that cheap. If you were going to go Charger stack with a run it back Chiefs, which way would you think that would be unique? Because I think most people are going to go Chiefs stacks and try to pick one spot out of the Chargers or so if they're doing stacks.
The unique would be the triple stack that no one did the first week either because it's too expensive. So you do Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, and we saw what that can do. And a lot of people don't like doing that because you pop those three guys in and then the rest of your lineup is getting a little dicey. But there's some good value on this slate that we'll get to in a bit that I think you can touch on, and they should go lower owned. They're cheap guys that I think can score pretty well. The other thing too would be pairing up Herbert, Eckler, and one of the receivers. A lot of people don't like doing that either. They'll play the two receivers with Herbert or just pick one and one. But Eckler can, I mean, he had 9 targets last week. He had none week one, but I think that's more of like a fluke type thing. But he can definitely eat Herbert, Eckler, and one of the receivers and do it that way. And Williams, I think, will come in less owned than Allen.
Yeah, I don't think Eckler is going to see a lot of ownership being 7,200. If he was cheaper, maybe. But when you start doing stacks, I don't think many people are going to try to get there. The implied total of this game was 30, 30.5 to 24. Forgot to mention that, which is second only to our next game, the Rams Bucks, which is slightly below on total game ownership. It's going to be a coin flip on these two games. Clearly, these two will be the highest owned when you're talking MME on Sunday. We had the Rams 27.25, Bucks 28.25 implied team total. Now that I'm on the right game, we can talk about, you know, with Brown out is going to be my first question. Does it open up value, or do you think people will just think Godwin and Evans gets more targets, and Gronk for that matter?
Yeah, I think that it'll push all the ownership to Godwin, Evans, and Gronk. There's a lot of like projections I see floating around that don't even project anyone else. So it's one guy that I like here that I think is starting to take over the backfield is Fournette, and he gets a couple targets. They're barely playing Bernard. If they are playing from behind or ahead, I mean, I just think he's kind of game script independent, and eventually he's going to get into the end zone and pay off. He's only 5K. I think he's a good spot to go to, and Brady does throw to him a little bit. So he's cheap, and he's a piece of this game, and we're going to want a lot of pieces of this game.
Yeah, 5,000. He's number five in my initial rankings that I posted on the site. A lot of that, you know, has to work with the implied total versus the salary and projected points. I think he'll stay low owned, mainly because a lot of people will, A, you see shootout, you got all these weapons, and then you got the Rams D, right? I mean, people think Darnold and all that, and they can't be run on. But to your point, the more he's involved in the passing game, the better this looks as a play. Especially as a low owned piece, I would rather have Fournette at 5,000 than Edwards at 48 or 49, 48 this week, if he's a third of the ownership. And I know that's two different games there, but when you're talking about the game stacks, I'm okay putting a Fournette in there, where I think Clyde could be three times the ownership in that game stack within each separate game. And that makes a big difference. I know you wrote this game up pretty good on your cash, your cream article. What is your favorite side?
Stafford. I just love this Ram pass game, especially with if Henderson's going to be out. I mean, I don't think they're going to go. First of all, you don't really play a running back versus Tampa Bay. They're a super funnel defense. They just, you rack up points through the air on them. And they're not going to rely on Sony Michel. This will be the Stafford show at home. And I think that's where you got to kind of get different is Cups like the golden boy right now. But I think Woods could really bust out, or you see a game like Van Jefferson had week one and he's at 3,400. That's a crazy pivot off of like KJ Osborne or someone like that is going to get a lot of ownership. He's $100 less. I don't know. I just think he's in a better environment to score. I love him. He's playing over 90% of the snaps. So, and then guy like Higbee who busted last week, you know, he could go off this week. So a lot of good spots here. And again, it's hard to kind of mix and match, but there's enough in this game with the Fournettes and the Vans and the Tyler Higbees to and the Robert Woods to kind of get some good ownership leverage.
Yeah, definitely a lot easier to fit either mini stacks, game stacks, whatever here with Woods and Cup being 68 and 5,700, whereas, you know, Tyreek's 8,400. You know, and even Godwin and Evans are 63 and 61. If you have no Brown, you know, they get a little more target share, market share potentially this week. I lean that this game winds up being the highest owned in total, although I still think people get a little nervous about fading any kind of Chiefs still right now. On a running back situation with the Rams, it's definitely something to monitor. Henderson's, you know, probably questionable at best right now. I think you could see it. And again, we'll have the same deal with Sonny Michel. I think he'll be I would rather go Fournette over Michel at that. They're all three right in that same price. And say Henderson is out, I think Michelle's ownership would get boosted quite a bit in this game, probably more than Fournette. And so I think Fournette could be a good pivot when you're doing a game stack here. Where are you at on Gronk? I know he's had the high touchdown target, deal, but does that continue? Is he a bad play? If not, you know, I'm big on Higbee. I like Higbee this week. I've liked him all preseason. He was a letdown last week, so I don't mind that. $1,500 cheaper, going to be way less owned than Gronk in these game stacks.
Yeah, the big thing with Gronk, I think, is, yes, if he doesn't get the touchdowns, I mean, his yardage totals, are, I don't think, are going to be that great. but he is used so much in the red zone. He just has this weird connection with Brady. They're just like boys playing backyard football, and it's weird. I mean, he's 5,500 now, though. One thing that will keep his ownership way down, I think, is Hockenson's right there, and he's probably going to be the most owned tight end on the slate. So that'll probably drag away from a little bit of Gronk in, you know, what could be a good game stack here. And at this point, I don't think we can ever sleep on him. I mean, him and Brady, it's just a weird connection. He's very likely to score a touchdown in a high-scoring game.
Yeah, I mean, he has seen a lot of snaps, even though his targets are low, but the touchdowns have paid off. I mean, he's on the field 81% of the time, so I tend to agree with you there that, you know, it's not 100% touchdown dependent, although it looks that way right now at the tight end zone. I do like Higbee. I'm a big, you know, I liked him, draft him a lot in best ball, have him on one of my teams. I only have two season-long teams. I got out of that, you know, deal. I keep my big ones, but I don't hate the Higbee situation here. If you had to pick as your favorite game, you know, to target MME of these two, which everybody's going to be on them, what's your favorite one?
Favorite player?
No, your favorite game stack, either Rams, Bucks, or Chargers, Chiefs.
It'd be Rams, Bucks. I love this Ram pass game.
Yeah, I tend to agree because I can say, and we talked about game scripts. I talk about a lot in Showdown. I talk about this week, I'm talking about a lot with the Ryder Cup of scripting out different scenarios with the golfers. But I do see a game script where the Chiefs just blow the doors out of the Chargers, and it's a you know, clocks running fourth quarter, not much being done. Whereas I being that the Bucks are on the road here, so big Rams game at home, I think it's a super competitive game. I lean that the Rams actually win this game. It's a toss up in Vegas, 1 point right now. You know, so I agree with you there. The next game is Vikes Seahawks, which is, I like this spot, especially being 30 to 40% total game ownership, less than the first two. Talk to me about your favorite spots in the Vikes Seahawks game.
This one's tough. I keep thinking that, like, I look at a lot of pace and stuff like that, and the Seahawks are playing faster, but the Vikings are real slow. I just keep thinking that the Seahawks will have a letdown spot, and they just don't. I mean, Wilson's just so efficient throwing touchdowns to Lockett, these long bombs. I just don't know if that's sustainable. I mean, they keep doing it, so maybe it is, but I think that my favorite targets in this game are the guys that I think can blow up that just haven't yet. So, you know, if everyone's going to go to Lockett and they're box score chasing, things like that, for $100 less, you get DK, and this could easily be a DK game. Same thing on the other side. You got Thielen scored in every game. Dalvin Cook's going to be highly owned, assuming he plays. And so I'd look at Justin Jefferson. He's had a good couple weeks, but he hasn't busted out yet. So if you're looking for two huge games at lower ownership, probably DK and Justin Jefferson would be my two favorite targets.
Yeah, I have Cook as my number one running back this week. I think he'll be owned, but, I mean, I think people are going to go to Henry after last week. We'll get to that game in a little bit. I have some thoughts there. You know, Kamara, I'm interested to see what people, he may be the Henry of this week where everybody's like, I'm out $8,200 bucks, not getting the targets, which was so key to him, with Breeze there. We'll get to that game, but I could see where Cook's not overly owned, but I agree with you 100% on the two guys you said, because like you said, everybody's going to go, you know, especially if you start looking at, you know, box scores and all that kind of stuff. Lockett will be much higher owned than Metcalf, and Thielen will there. Osborne's one I'm weird. I was big on him last week. For the things I got wrong, you know, Osborne, Rondale Moore, Chase Edmonds, those guys I was on, and it kind of helped me save a little bit. I definitely was on the fade of Henry, so that hurt some. But do you think he shoots up after having a good week? And he's still only 3,500. I don't have him projected that high of ownership yet, mainly because of all the other pieces that are got going. But 55 game total. I think with as long as a tight end stays out, you know, they're really using him a lot, and I don't see any reason not to go back there.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't want to play him, but I think he'll be higher owned in like a cash game type thing. And I don't have him on there yet, but I might add him if I think he's going to be like super high owned in cash. We'll see. One thing about Dalvin Cook, like you were saying, you know, he does have that red Q next to his name now, so that might help keep the ownership down too. No one likes clicking a questionable player. But you know, if they say he's good to go, I fully trust him. The other thing about Osborne too is if I like Cook and you like Cook and we think they can have a big game on the ground, then that does take away from the pass game too. So I don't know how much a, you know, third wide receiver on an offense we expect to be able to run well. You know, I don't know how much that intrigues me, but you can't really argue with the stuff he's done so far.
And I actually have Carson, which is rare. I have my top two running backs are in the same game, which is not very normal. I don't know if I get there doing that, but I have Carson rated out, you know, as the second best overall play on the slate so far. A big reason is he's $6,400. So you get a good savings. This is a potential mini game stack, you know, type of deal. Its game total is 55. So it's right there with the other two. It's just going to go massively under the radar compared to those two with the big names, Chiefs, Chargers, Rams, Bucks. And this one, every bit could be as high scoring. Do you have any interest in Carson?
Yeah, you know, he was close to making it here, and I'll probably add him in. I think that he's one of those guys, like people look at what happened last week. He had no targets, so people don't like that. He punched in two TDs and had like no yards. So they'll say, well, he's probably not going to punch in two TDs again. But like you look at this game and why not? I mean, he could punch in two TDs again. You don't know. So, and he will come in, you know, lower owned. But that's the other thing I was saying too. Like, I think the Seahawks, they always tend to shoot out, but I just think there's going to be like a letdown, slower game coming. And if we like both sides of the running game here, I just don't know if it's going to be a slower pace type of game, but I don't know. They're tough for me to figure out.
You got the Vikings at home where Cousins definitely plays much better. So I don't mind. Like you said, this could by Sunday, I could be saying, I kind of see this as a shootout. And now that gets me off of a Cook or Carson. I'd probably be off Cook first because of the $2,000. I'm okay with the $64 Carson if it is more of a passing game shootout. You don't have very good defenses here in general. We just saw that last week. Seahawks certainly can give up points. They did late to the Titans. And if Cousins at home and he's in that noon game slot or 1 o'clock y'all's time, you know, he's definitely more efficient for whatever reason. I know it's kind of a narrative, but the facts are there. I definitely don't mind targeting this game. There's a couple more down here that I think I like a hair better as far as some single sides of game, but as a total game environment, if you want to get different, certainly some pieces to be different there. Next one up for us, Titans Colts, 73% game ownership, Titans 26.5. to 21.5 for the Colts. I know the Henry deal is going to be, you know, as it bounced back, everybody goes, God, you just got to play him. Now he's getting catches, right? Was that an anomaly or that's something new about the offense? We got to wait and see. And then you got Taylor who has had a ton of opportunities inside the 5 and 10 and just not scored, but getting a lot of the touches, you know, I don't think Wentz plays, but it's still probably true questionable at this point. Where are you at on this game in general? I have some thoughts on the Henry deal, but I want to hear where you are.
I'm not huge on this game. I do like Taylor and Henry for the fact that they do catch passes as well. This Henry thing, I mean, when he's got, 10 targets in two games and has like 30 as his career high, I mean, it's just weird. It is a new offense, so maybe that's what they're doing. I mean, we always thought that he wasn't completely dead in the pass game and didn't really understand why they wouldn't put their best player out there in certain situations, but now they're giving him the ball a ton. And really, if he does have this pass-catching role and the ceiling that he has, 8,600 is of value. So it's tough to go away from him here. And then the receivers, you know, on the Titans, it's kind of hit or miss. Like you don't know who's going to blow up at any certain time. And so that, I mean, I guess you just fire one off in tournaments and hope it hits, but I don't really like this game to shoot out. They have the 32nd and 26th fastest neutral pace. I mean, it could be a slow game, especially if you like both running backs, like we were saying. So I'm not sure I'm on this one.
No, I agree. I do think the Colts deep run D is better than what people will assume. That doesn't mean you can stop Henry. Yeah, if he's going to continue the pace of getting targets that he's at, he's a very cheap McCaffrey right now. And because normally with these stats he's had through 2 weeks, if this was McCaffrey from 2 years ago before he got hurt, he'd be priced probably over 10,000, very at least 9,900. So you look at it that way and you're like, very cheap in that sense, although he's the highest priced running back on the entire slate. I'm interested to see, like you said, this is a game I like, but I like pieces of it. It's not necessarily anything I'd want to stack. I could have a nice cheap stack and then get Henry fit in. It's hard to not go there if they're going to continue that. I don't mind Taylor as well. It could be a great game where all you literally take is these two running backs and then build your passing game stacks out of a completely different game. So I don't mind that either way. They are – Tennessee is at home, coming off a good win. Do you think Wentz plays? Everything I read is very questionable.
I don't see – I mean, I saw that one too. It looked gross. I can't see how he'd play, especially with his history too. Like, why would they risk it on the road as dogs anyways? I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't play him if I was them.
No, I agree with you there, and not much more to talk about. I think there's some pieces in the wide receiver game, like you said, you could take chances on. We'll see, you know, if he winds up playing. You got Pittman. I like him. I think he's on the – I mean, long-term, I think he does good. Pascal seems to be catching a ton of – he's kind of like Gronk in the Colts, which kind of frustrates me because I played Pittman some, but not a ton of stacking here. More of a piece game for me. Next, Washington, Buffalo, 68.5%. Game ownership, Bills 26.25, Washington 18.75. So not a very high expected game. I'll get to your Bills in a second. As far as Washington goes, there's not much I like in this game atmosphere. They're on the road. I don't mind maybe Logan Thomas as a piece. There's not much here I like on the Washington side of the ball, if anything, but where I know you've been high on the Bills for 2 years, and last year I was completely wrong about them. Where are you at on them in general? Is this a weird first 2 week start? Are they regressing compared to last year?
I think it's tough. Like, Josh Allen has definitely regressed. I mean, but he couldn't have played hotter than he did last year. So I guess we don't know if he's kind of at his floor right now and he's going to be playing better, you know, coming up here. He's just getting warmed up. I don't know. It's hard to tell. The numbers don't really seem to think he's going to come back to what he did last year, which I know is probably not expected anyways. But the thing about this game is that the Washington defense, surprisingly, has been pretty bad to start the year. And that was like something I was high on. I know you were high on, and the whole industry, you know, thought Washington's defense was going to be very, very good. Up front, they're still strong, but they can't really stop anyone. So in the secondary. So, I mean, I think at home is a big, you know, touchdown favorite. This is a big game for Josh Allen. We'll learn a lot about him this week. And if he can't score here, I don't know if he'll be able to. And his price is about as low as it's going to get at 7,000. So, I mean, he'd have to really stink here for the price to keep going down. And then his receivers are cheap too. So if you do get the big game from Sanders or Beasley, something like that, you know, it can pay off big.
Any interest in Singletary in the sense that do you think – one thing I think has happened a little bit, and, you know, very early in the season, is I think some defenses have just said, hey, Buffalo, they're not going to run the ball. They didn't have run it hardly at all last year unless it was Josh Allen. So we're just going to, you know, spy on Allen and play the pass if they want to start running the ball. And we saw Singletary break one last week, $4,900. Like you said, Washington, good up front. Some good pass rushers, but I think they could be run on. And again, you're in that cheap area where we've talked about Sony Michel, Clyde Edwards. I don't think hardly anybody thinks of Singletary, especially anecdotally. People see Washington, they're still going to think good D, even if it's not true. Any hope in Singletary? Or if you're going to this game, you just go Allen with Beasley and maybe Diggs?
No, I mean, you could definitely play Singletary. I think Singletary is a good, you know, obviously he'd be a tournament play. And I think that's how I'd play this entire game, is just like, if in my cash article, I don't have Josh Allen there. And, you know, he used to be just a staple. But now, you know, like you said, we just got to wait and see. And if defenses are just selling out to stop the pass, like you're saying, that's why they've kind of been smart and they have been coached really well. So if they are switching up their game plan, they're not just coming out, you know, throwing 80% of the time, and they're going to go more balanced. You know, maybe that's what they're going to do. And if they do that, I personally like Singletary more than Moss, and I think he's better in the pass game. So that'd be the guy I would target.
I do too. I definitely – these big 13-game slates, you don't want to spread out your player pool so much, but you also don't have to force things because there's so many options on the slate to get your leverage, and it could be one-off type deals. Obviously there's, you know, great games up top as well, and a lot of big name players. And so if you, you know, this game's a good game, probably it'd be a decent football game to watch. Like you said, I'll be watching it more from, you know, analytical betting standpoint moving forward, where I see stuff, not really going to touch it this week, but I could see a scenario of a, you know, Bills having a little bit of a good game, breakout game. To your point, Washington's D has been a little down, so maybe they do play great. And this could easily be a ugly, you know, 20 to 13 type game. It's just not something I want to get a whole lot of pieces in this week, because there's so many other options. But I do think one-offs of Beasley is good. One-offs of Singletary, you know, that no one's really going to come get these one-off pieces with some of these super popular stacks can really make the difference in some MMEs. Next, Cards, Jags, 63.7%, but I will tell you most of that is on the Cardinals, as they are the second highest projected team ownership on the slate. No, I'm sorry, third highest projected team ownership on the slate. 29.75 Cardinals to 22.25 Jags. I mean, I may just hammer the Cardinals again. I keep doing it, and it's worked. It's been, you know, if I do the three max, and I do a three max every week, one of them has been the Cardinals, and it's helped me, you know, get close to my money back, especially last week when I got waxed. But that 1-3 max that had Murray, Edmonds, Moore paid off. I don't know if that necessarily is a every week deal. Moore's catch and run was a I don't want to say fluky, but I do think they're going to try to get him involved. Is there any versus, is there anything on the Jags that you remotely look at all? And then do you like the Cardinals enough to stack them over a Chiefs, Rams, Bucks, Chargers type?
I do like the Cardinals a ton. The hardest part about them, where I think it might be easier, is targeting where, you know, who's going to get the love from Kyler. One thing I saw about Hopkins that I didn't necessarily like was that he barely played in the slot. And I think now that they actually have capable guys who can, you know, they have two slot receivers with Moore and Kirk that are more than capable. He doesn't really need to go in there. They don't really need to manufacture too much to him, because these guys can also move the ball. So I don't know. That's just something I want to monitor. I mean, Hopkins is good every week, but these other guys are, you know, Moore's only 5,000, AJ Green 45. I mean, it's tempting there to stack with Kyler, and you save so much. Then on the other side, to run it back, I love Marvin Jones Jr. I think he's a good player. I think he's super underrated, and he's cheap. And so, like you said, this game might be a great sneaky one to stack if you're going to run it back with Marvin, because you do get the savings with these receivers. And then you can maybe play a Henry or a Cook or something like that, be a little different. But Jones Jr. he leads the league in end zone targets this year, and is second in red zone targets. So they're using him all over, and I just love it.
Yeah, one of my notes I made, I try to build out my coin flip script and then this, and then I read your cream article so that I have an unbiased view of it. And one note I did make is I still like Marvin Jones Jr., mainly because Jaguars have a nasty taste for anybody in their mouth right now, that they just suck. Two, a lot of people got to play Jones Jr. When we were on him week one, he was 3,300 or some stuff like that. So people now see 4,900 and think, oh, he's not worth it. Well, we just got him really cheap value week one. He's still under 5,000 in a game that's got a game total of 52, which isn't horrible. And more often than not, the Jags are going to be behind and needing to throw. If you go by the game script, I love the Cardinals -7.5 this week. I released them Monday at -7 and said that number would move, and it did. So if they are throwing a lot, and the one thing I like about the Jags in DFS compared to maybe some other quote unquote shitty teams is Trevor Lawrence does have skills, and he's going to be a good quarterback at some point. At least you see the flashes. And I think in a blowout situation, like, they're going to be trying to get him more comfortable long-term. They don't really care about these first few games. And so he can make some good throws. Like you said, I think week one, Jones got a touchdown late in the fourth quarter, and at these prices, that could be all you need. And I think he's a PPR target. And so in a DraftKings setting, that helps even more. Is there any other pieces? Do you like a Chenault at all? You know, he's only 4,400. Is there a theme there where you go, not too many Jags at any point in time?
Well, Chenault's okay. I got to look at that a little harder, because I was on O'Shaughnessy big time. You know, O'Shaughnessy was in a huge role running over half his slot, like routes out the slot. He only ran two routes last week and had a catch for 25 yards. Like, I still think he was the right play last week and could have had a big game. But so I want to know, maybe they go a little smaller in the slot, use Chenault a little bit more. You know, the thing here, I think, is just like the coaching. I don't really scheme up a lot for him. He's got a super low, like a dot behind the line of scrimmage type stuff. And I don't know, the plays that they use him on, I just don't really like. So hopefully he'll like run some more routes and be targeted more down the field. One thing that I do love about this game too, going back to stacking it, is that they each play at a fast pace. So you have like the Cardinals at the 14th fastest neutral pace and the Jags at the fourth. And the 14th fastest for the Cardinals, I think, is probably their floor. I mean, they've never been outside the top 10 and playing fast. So you could see some extra play volume in this game too. So I don't know. I'm going to look at the Chenault thing. He's cheap enough to where it could make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I lean back on my college stuff because I'm so versed in that. And a lot of that's why I was big on Rondale Moore. And Chenault was that type of guy. He showed flashes last year. He was disappointing at times last year. He's got a good quarterback, and yeah, if they need to get some more targets out there, he's an option. He's nothing that just screams at me, but for $4,400, especially in a large field MME or something, if you're stacking this game, I think you could go worse than getting him in. He's going to be 1% guy at most. So definitely something to keep on our radar as we head towards Sunday. Lions Ravens, we've got a couple more good ones, and then it's probably we're going to zoom through, but Lions Ravens 29-21. I kind of like this game as it's a potential sneaky stat game for me. Where are you at on it? Yeah, go ahead.
I love it. This is like one of my favorite. This is where I was talking about the cheap guys you can get that it's just an awesome game. I mean, the Ravens are another defense where we just thought they were going to be good. They suffer a lot of injuries and they're not good at all. I mean, they can't stop anyone. The Lions offense is surprisingly decent. I mean, they have a good offensive line. They're always, you know, their defense sucks too. So they're always giving up points. And that's the thing, is you got two defenses that just let teams drive down the field and score. So that's exactly what we're looking for. And then you look at some of these prices and they just don't really seem to make sense with what can happen in this game. And especially guys like Swift for 5,800, Cephas, if Williams out again, Cephas is 3,900. He's looked pretty awesome in that wide receiver one role for the Lions. And then Hockenson's only 5,200. That price to me at 5,200 makes no sense. I mean, he's in a Kelsey type role in a team. Goff leads the NFL in pass attempts. And so, you know, the volume's going to be there, especially like I said, with their defense just giving up points, they have to throw. So I don't know. I mean, I love the value in this game, and Goff's only 5,200 and everyone hates playing him. I mean, he won't be owned at all. And I love it. You come back with Marquise Brown and play Lamar if you want and come back with these cheap receivers on the Lions. There's a lot to do here.
No, it's marked as one of my favorite, you know, sneaky stat games of the week. Like I said, it's 58% total ownership right now. I got Baltimore 44% total and the Lions 14%. And yeah, I know Baltimore's name, and I still think there may be a anecdotal thought of, you think of the Ravens, you think of Ray Lewis and this D, and while they're good, they're still a little banged up. They'll definitely get points up. We've seen that. Hockenson, I just kept hammering every prop in the world Monday night against the Packers, and you know, that's an easy payoff. And the 5,200 in a slate where you have Kelsey and Waller, and on the coin flip, talked about, hey, those are wide receiver one. So if you're playing them, I don't even look at them as tight. This is definitely a double tight end week if you want it, because you can have Kelsey, Waller, Gronk, Andrews, Hockenson, Higbee, Pitts, who's still right there. I mean, some of the best tight ends are up here. Lamar's my number one rated quarterback overall. I think it's 7,800. He's lower owned than Mahomes, potentially Murray, Russell Wilson, because of those big high profile games. But you look at the team total, it's 29. Like, they're actually have a higher implied team total than the Buccaneers. And we know he's going to be a majority of that. So a lot of cheap pieces here that, like you mentioned, don't want to double up everything. I definitely like this game you call it a millie maker type game. These are one of those games that not many people are going to be on. You could definitely take some advantage of it. Any thoughts on, you know, like a out of the box play here, or do you just keep it sent like running backs for the Ravens? Is there anything there? You just stick with the pieces we know and move forward.
I mean, you could. It's just hard to I don't know. Like, I guess Latavius Murray would probably be my preferred play if I went to a running back in this. And could he score two TDs? Yes. But Lamar could easily vulture those plus throw three. So, I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And Marquise Brown, what I loved seeing last week, they actually used him. He was playing in the slot like more than half the time. They like schemed up plays to get him in open space, use his speed, get him mismatches and stuff like that. If they continue to use him like that and not just streak him down the field half the game or run slant, something like that. I mean, I love Marquise Brown even more. And he's a guy that we've kind of been waiting to bust out. And if they're going to use him like this, and it took some injuries at wide receiver to force their hand, but at least they're going to do it, then we got to look at him. I just think he can – he's the type of guy who can have a Lockett-type game at any time. So,
yeah, and this is a perfect game that – I mean, this is like a poor man's Chiefs, but I think they could easily – you know, you get Lamar, Hollywood, and Andrews, or maybe you go Hockenson. Either way, you know, I don't want to say those three. I would take those three versus Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill by any means. But you look at the salary you have to spend on those three versus the other three. It's massive savings. This is a great game where we talked about earlier. You want to get some Derrick Henry or Jonathan Taylor or those one-off great running back pieces solo. With these kind of stacks, either you go Lions or Ravens or mix and match. It's a perfect opportunity in this type of game with some cheap pieces. I'm glad we agree on that side of it. Bears, Browns, 26.25, 19.25. It looks like Phil, I think he's officially been named the starter, correct?
Yeah, I think he is starting.
Yeah, so probably not a very high scoring game. I don't know if there's much interest for Fields right out the gate versus Cleveland. I have a couple things I kind of like about this game. Is there anything that sticks out to you?
Not really. Fields' rushing ability does. I mean, again, this would be like I worry that he'll be higher owned than we think too, because people saw him running the ball pretty well in the preseason and he's only 5,200. So, I mean, I'd like to play him in a tournament, but I feel like, you know, now that I'm looking further into it, I'm not sure I want to. The way you beat the Browns is through the air. And it's tempting to play Fields in like a Mooney where it's 5,200 and 4,300 and then run it back with Chubb or something like that. But I don't know how popular that, if it's popular, I don't think I like it.
I don't think it'll be popular, not on this slate. I'm not sure where I'm at on Fields yet. Mooney is a guy that I love as a one-off piece in any situation. He's getting 95% of the snaps. He's tied with Robinson at 23.4% market share, and he's not half the price, but significantly less priced. And potentially, you know, with the change of quarterback, you know, sometimes if everybody's been waiting on it, a boost of morale to the team, they come out ready to go, guns a-blazing. I could see something like that. I think potentially a Cole Kmet could benefit from a Fields being on there, a rookie quarterback looking for a dump off. He's seeing 73% of the snaps now. So I there's some interest there, but when I go to compare it versus like the game we just talked about, I'm like, I'd rather go Lions Ravens and try to get in here. I don't mind Chubb. Chubb could be a great one-off. He can break a slate any given week. So I agree with you there. Outside of that, I really don't have, I guess if OBJ's out, now you could potentially have some value at wide receiver because, you know, who they're going to throw the ball to, or does it give a bump to Kareem Hunt? I don't think so. I don't think it's a one-off that it does automatically, but because Landry's out now, so you're starting to get thin there at wide receiver. But I think they can run the ball just fine on the Bears defense and would do that preferably all day long.
Yeah, I like Chubb as like he kind of disappointed people who played him last week in what was supposed to be kind of a smash spot for him, if you will. But he, you know, Hunt ran the ball more than he did. I just think that's kind of a fluke. I mean, if you look back, that's not what they do. Chubb is the man who gets the majority of the carries. And so, you know, he stayed the same price. He's 7,600. I think that might even be $200 less than he was last week. They're a touchdown favorite at home. Both their receivers are out hurt. I mean, this could be the 100-yard, 2-TD game from Chubb at lower ownership because people are a little butthurt after playing him last week.
Yeah, another guy that people may not want to jam in at that price when you got some other options right around him that look more attractive. Next game, Bengals, Steelers, 44%, 23.25 to 20.25. My only comment I wrote down was ugly. Like, I just there's not much here. I see maybe from your cash side, you may have something MME or GPP wise. There's not a lot that I see right now.
Deontay Johnson is playable every week for me, and that's about it. He's questionable now, but if he plays and they say he's 100%, he's seen 22 targets in 2 weeks. He's just a stud.
Yeah, I talked about that last week, that you and I agree. He's clearly made his name is at the top of those three right there. But Big Ben's look so bad. And this game can typically be an ugly, they're division rivals. Just not much there that I want to, with so many other options, it's pretty much a pass for me. Maybe that changes by Sunday, but not much. Broncos Jets, 36.3%. Broncos 26.25 to Jets 15.75. Very similar to the Steelers Bengals game for me, but I still don't mind like a Javonte Williams. Broncos D will be talked about. I know most people don't want to pay up for any kind of D no matter what. I love the Ravens Lions as the super game stack type stuff, but a team mini stack that somewhat may attract me, but I just don't know if the Jets will score enough to make the Broncos throw enough would be Bridgewater, Sutton, Hamler type deal. Some more pieces here than the game before with the Steelers, but not a lot when we're talking MME, but there's a couple things I would take a look at.
Yeah, I had Williams marked down too. I mean, people kind of play him every week just waiting for it. I think this could be the week because and I'm not in the minority here. I don't think this game will be very close. Traveling out to Denver, I think Denver could kind of beat up on him a little bit. So if you're going to give the rookie some run, I mean, maybe this is the most carries he'll see all year. Yeah. And he's only 4,900. So if he does bust out, price is going to go up. So while he's still low, maybe this is the big Williams game.
Yeah. And the blowout potential is what keeps me from wanting any kind of full stack like Bridget. But, if you want to throw a Hamler in there or a Sutton, I don't know what Sutton's price way up, but Javonte Williams definitely and will be in any kind of MME player pool that I have because of that. They could be up, 14 to 17 in the second half and just run. And he can bust one. I mean, he's going to at some point. I don't know if it's this week for sure. They are at home, so that's even more of an advantage. Zach Wilson does not look great in any way, shape, or form. I think the D is viable if you can afford it in some kind of weird stack. 4,300 for a D is very tough. But where there was times when, like the Patriots, I remember a couple of years ago, or the Bears they just kept paying off and everybody kept avoiding it because they didn't want to pay up. It's not ideal, but, potentially a Williams Broncos D mini stack is not the worst thing in the world, but I think we're in agreement there on those pieces. Dolphins Raider, 35%. 20 to 24 and a half Raiders. Not much here for me. Is Tua been officially ruled out? I think he has, right?
Yeah, he's not playing. I think Brissett's starting.
Brissett's going to start, which I think could actually boost them a little bit. I don't mind Brissett as a quarterback, not for DFS, but I think as a team, they could make it competitive. They are on the road, though, going to LA. Very low game total, lower implied total. I'm a big Henry Ruggs fan. Definitely don't mind him as a one-off piece. Outside of that, I really don't have much down except for you can always play Waller at any given time. He's just seeing so many targets.
Yeah, I had Ruggs written down here too because I loved – so he's kind of like the Marquise Brown treatment. Like they finally put him in the slot a ton.
Exactly.
And find mismatches and he just busts out big plays. I mean, and Carr looks good. But the other piece, I think, I don't think this game will be particularly close either. The spread's a lot closer than I think it'll be. Dolphins look like brutal bad last week. I just don't know what's going on there. They can't figure it out. I mean, they're the only team in the NFL, I think, that has co-offensive coordinators. They're just kind of a mess, and their offensive line sucks. So one guy that I target, he is completely tournament, large field, needs a TD or two to pay off, but – if Jacobs is out, Peyton Barber's almost near min price. And if there's a game where he's going to punch one or two in, he's got a little more time in this offense now. And if they're up by a lot, like we saw with the Bills last week or something, and I don't expect him to do that, but if they're up by a lot and they're running the ball, he's going to be the guy running the ball.
Yeah. If Jacobs has moved out, you'll see ownership go a little bit to Barber just by instinct. That tends to happen. And it's been pretty clear so far that Drake's going to stay in the Drake role, even if Jacobs is out. So it's not like he's going to pick up much more carries there. So I don't necessarily hate that. Like you said, it's a large, you're trying to beat, you know, 100,000 people in an MME. That could be a way. I have him at 1% ownership right now, pending the Jacob news. He'll move up some, but he still won't, even at 4,300, he won't be that highly owned. So I don't hate that either.
It'd be like a Carson game from last week, like 30 or 40 yards rushing and he pounds in two TDs. Like, you got to get lucky, but they could be in that scenario. You know, there's been worse things have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat Saints, 34.6%, 22.5 to 19.5. Pats are favored slightly. I have, you know, basically a pass for most of it for me. I don't know what to think of the Saints in general. The only thing that could come into play by Sunday is if everybody's in the ballpark of, I'm not going to Kamara for 8,200, potentially him, you know, if they realize they got to get him more involved. But, you know, right now, outside of that, I don't really like a lot about this game, more so because the Saints are on the road. You know, Pats are tough at home. Don't like much about the Patriots right now. Anything stick out to you?
No, this game is like pretty ugly too. But I know the Saints don't want to get embarrassed though. So, I mean, perhaps they look at what they did last week and then make a point to get Kamara the ball. I mean, touch it 25 times week one and then not even 20 times last week. And for you to not give him the ball 20 times with that offense you're running out there just makes no sense at all. So I don't think they're poorly coached. So I think that, you know, you don't want to go out there and get embarrassed again or score another 10 points or whatever. So, you know, maybe they scheme to give him the ball a ton. What he can do with it against a decent defense, I don't know, but it's a little interesting. James White was the other guy who popped out to me here. It was in a clear – he's in that James White role, like with Mac Jones that he was in with Brady. It's just an awesome connection. He's got 6 catches in both games, so that gives him kind of a floor there. And then if he finds the end zone like he did last week, he's got a little bit of a ceiling too at only 4,900.
Yeah, and the Patriots defense is good, and they were good. They just had a lot of people opt out last year, and I think people thought like they just – even last year with some of their guys opt out, they still competed in games and were alive, and they're going to be – they're good. They're good last week. Interested to see, because I was against the Saints last week because I thought it was a huge reaction week to for betting purposes, you know, with their week one result. I'm interested. This is one of the games I got marked to say, all right, this tells me something about both these teams. Can Jameis bounce back and be competitive and get a good win on the road? Or do they look ugly like they did last week? This is one I want to see, but for DFS purposes, not a whole lot. I guess the Patriots could be in play, but if I'm going to pay up that much, I just do the $200 more and go against the Broncos versus the Jets. Cause Jameis could light them up. He gets a turnover machine, but if I'm going to spend up there, I'm just going to go to the Broncos. That seems like an easier play to me. Falcons Giants to end it. 22.25, 25.25. Jones looked like the runner that we've seen in peak times last week. The Giants are at home. Not much about this attracts me at all. I in general, you could look at the Falcons and you think the pieces look good. You know, Ridley, Patterson's running in, getting some catches. Pitts is just, you know, was one of the highest talked about in the offseason as a rookie. I like Daniel Jones. I like Shepard. I may pick and pluck from here, but I think that, you know, Matt Ryan just looks so ugly that I don't know if I would like the pieces if I don't like Ryan. It's a low implied total. You know, I don't know. Are you interested in anything here?
The Giants side of the ball, yeah. And if I'm going to play anyone from the Falcons, it'd just be the cheap guys like Davis or Pitts or something to kind of run it back a little. But it sucks because, like, I just feel bad for Ridley because you watch these throws that Matt Ryan's making and he just can't make them anymore. There's that one viral video floating around on Twitter I saw earlier where he takes like 3 steps to get into a throw and he can't throw it further than 45 yards. And as Ridley's got the guy roasted for like an 80-yard touchdown and Matt Ryan just can't get him the ball. So these lower ADOT guys like Davis, Pitts, stuff like that, I don't mind. And Pitts should have a good role in the red zone should they ever get to the red zone. But and on the other side of the ball, I mean, Atlanta's defense is absolutely bad. I mean, so any of these Giants can go off. It's just hard to know who. Sterling Shepard is seeing the most targets. He's running the most out of the slot. He's obviously the best guy. He's not even up over 6K yet. I think that eventually he'll be like 6,500, 7,000. So he's probably still a value at this price. And Daniel Jones is like quietly balling out. I mean, I think he's like the top 5 PFF rating for quarterbacks. And I think Saquon's going to get quite a bit of ownership at 6,500. I don't like how they're not using him in the pass game. I just think that's, you know, a Garrett problem. But he's very cheap. I think he'll get a lot of ownership. So if he did go with like a Jones, Shepard, something like that, it's a nice pivot off of the Barkley players.
Yeah, I, you know, Jones was one of my picks for potential cheap quarterback of the week type of deal if you're going that route. There are a lot of options this week that I think, like you mentioned, Goff. That's one that's a great, you know, environment that we both agree on, 5,200. So 600 less than Jones. The rushing upside for Jones is, if that's a thing they're going to allow him to do like he did last week, that certainly boost him up over any of these other cheap options. So I'm interested to see how they continue to utilize that. I'm interested to kind of monitor the industry on Barkley because I have him marked as a potential, you know, he could bust out. And if he's ever going to do it right now, it'd be this week against this terrible defense. And you're right, he is super cheap. So I could see some very small mini stacks, definitely not much from the Falcons side. Cause I just, like you said, I just don't trust Ryan. But you know, even if you don't want to go the quarterback route, Barkley, Shepard, Pitts, you know, three man mini stacks and hope you get something out of there. I wouldn't hate that at all. I know we don't talk a lot about defenses. Is there any defenses in general that you like to, that you're looking to target this week from either the cash side? Nate, cash and MME kind of go over. It doesn't really matter on D. Anything that looks out there for you?
I have the Raiders, and this will be on our site too. The defensive matchups are on there. So I have the Raiders ranked number one, only 3,400. That's a defense that I like to go to. It's not a bad week, I guess, in cash to punt down on defense. I don't mind the Titans at 2,400, especially if, you know, Wentz is going to be out. And I don't mind – I think the Jets are like 2,200. I don't mind that either. You know, just – I don't think they really have a ceiling, obviously, but if you're just punting in cash, Titans I like more for just $200 more. And if I'm paying up, I'm probably going like Broncos, like you said, or going to the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders are one. They're up there on mine. I didn't pay too much attention to that, but I do think, especially with some of these, look for some of these guys making first starts because of injury or whatnot. That could be a good one. That's, you know, $900 cheaper than the Broncos. Most people are probably going to stay super cheap or they may pay up. And so that could be a little sneaky play for sure. Definitely want y'all's feedback on this pod. It's something new. Hopefully you guys love the format. Gives a little bit of insight to every game for guys that, you know, enjoy that kind of stuff. Coin flips stay the same, just, you know, the key high points that I'm on for the week. This will drop on Fridays or late Thursday, so you guys have it ready if you're making your morning commute on Fridays. Enjoyed it, Ryan. I hope you got, I know that this is the first time, I believe you said you have a wedding on Sunday.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. I can't watch anything we just talked about. I can't even freaking watch on Sunday. It's killing me. But
yeah, that's a brutal timing to have a fall wedding, especially on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's my sister-in-law, so there's no getting out of this one. I'm in the wedding, and that is what it is, I guess. I missed the race. I missed the race at 7 o'clock that night too, so it's a double whammy. And the Niners are prime time at 8, so I'm just getting killed in all directions. Oh man,
you'll be miserable come Sunday night trying to catch up on everything. Yeah, at least that's one thing. At wedding, you'll have a little bit of fun. College football pod will drop Friday morning as well from our man Bobby. He's been killing it on college football. We've had tons of big winners in there. You know, he'll have the Friday night slate covered, Saturday slate covered. The Thursday night slate was dropped already yesterday, or it's too late for that now, but we got all that covered. The Slack over in GC Warrior Room is amazing for all things NFL, college football, even PGA stays hot. Looking forward to the Ryder Cup this weekend. I think it'll be a good one. I think USA wins, but I think it's really close. Coin Flip is out as well if you want to go take a look at that. I will be live 10 a.m. Eastern Sunday morning for the live premium member chat. We will wrap up all these things, or question marks, injuries, stuff like that. And we'll be talking probably a little bit of Ryder Cup. Should be getting live there. I don't know what time they're going off Sunday. 12 matches. Be kind of amped up for that. That's always a fun day. Appreciate you guys listening. We will be back next week. Like, review, give us feedback. If you are a premium member, talk to us in Slack. Let us know what you like, didn't like. Always willing to change for you guys. Appreciate it. You guys have a blessed day.